Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Honours Roll podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
This week, we're speaking with Jimmy Watkins about running and sobriety. Ben, you've just returned from Legoland. How was it?
What a fantastic segue. I was quite sober some of the time during Legoland. Yeah, it's great. That was our first family holiday since the addition of child number two. So we got out and we've got friends who've just moved over to Denmark because they've got a job at Lego. Imagine that. Ooh.
Wow.
All right. So yeah, I got to go and see some excellent friends and have a fantastic time and the kids went insane. So yeah, it was good.
Did you do any running?
Mate, it was I packed running kit and it didn't get used because time was of an essence. And I have got a slightly dodgy knee at the moment, but still I could have gone out for a little trot if I'd been so inclined, but I wasn't because we were out and about all day long. But there were some nice places to run. I'm a bit sad. Retrospectively, I regret not going out because there were some good little routes. Everything,
I love the intention.
Everything
you pack kit. You at least pack kit.
I had great intentions, which I feel is like 90% of the whole thing anyway. But yeah, when you go somewhere, when you go to countries who've got like infrastructure and areas which are completely like everything's residential, pedestrianised or cycling, like it's... Yeah, you immediately go like, oh, wow, there's some good run routes around here. Even all the holiday parks have like, you could see little signposts, which had like 2Ks and a 5K and all that sort of stuff, loops like posted out. So you could get there with your family. And then there was like, you know, routes you could go and run around the place. So there you go. It was ace. It was good. How are you?
Excellent.
What's been going on?
I didn't do park run for the first week in about 4 weeks. I've been sort of going around with the buggy. I've become the buggy runner.
Yes.
Park run. But yeah, went for just a nice little all my runs are quite short distance at the minute, so yeah, only like sort of 5 miles, quite slow pace. But I'm kind of back to running, yeah, three times a week. Obviously we were running together on Thursday because we got back into the office.
The absolute dream.
So that was nice. So yeah, I feel like I'm not really pushing any limits at the minute.
I don't think any of us are.
It's great to be running regularly. I tell you what, Ben,
yep.
We've got another letter.
Oh, yes, a letter.
I'm going to read you the latest one. I'll do an edited version. It was a lovely letter, but it's quite long to read out just in one go. It's from Roseanne McEwen.
The abridged version.
Based in, abridged. She is British, but she's living over in the US. And she said, your podcast helped me to get a Boston qualifying time.
What? How have we done that?
exactly. Yeah, I mean, be honest, I think Roseanne really sort of did this herself. But the big thing she said
let's take some credit. She said we did.
She said we helped out. And the big thing was that she listened to Jane's advice about lapping each mile during the marathon,
yeah,
which was really helpful. Taking the fuel and just keeping pace. And I kept repeating to myself, trust your training.
That's the mantra that we all needed.
We need to get t-shirts made with trust your training. But yeah, fair play to Roseanne. Yeah, Boston qualifying time. And really, really good run. And we helped in a very, very small way, I think.
Oh, well, Jane will be back next week. So hopefully we can get her take on that.
We've got an amazing guest on this week, Jimmy Watkins. He's been on before in other guises because he's a man of many hats.
Yes,
he was an 800 meter runner for Team GB back in the day, and then he also has fronted various pretty successful bands. His current one, I think, they're called the Vega Bodegas, and he's a founder of this Running Punks, who are like a running sort of community. But we thought we'd get him on to talk about sort of running and sobriety because he's he's been sober now for about, I think, about 3 years. He's got some interesting stuff to say on the matter. So should we get on our guest of the week?
Yeah, let's do it. Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown. Right,
before we begin, Jimmy, on we're talking about running and sobriety. Were you doing the Clenethley half yesterday?
Yeah, did it yesterday.
How'd it go?
It was amazing. So they were a load of running punks. I don't know the official number in the end, but I made it a thing where I just ran with as many people as I could. So I ran maybe like a mile further than a half because I kept going back and checking people were okay. But honestly, it was amazing. It was, I don't know. I don't even know what I was expecting, but everything that just happened, it just blew my mind. We had a running punk, he ran it with a baguette in his hand. just for no reason. He just turned up with a baguette.
Hey, there'll be a scientific report somewhere soon that will say that's the best nutrition strategy.
And it was just, we were noisy. I was thinking maybe we'll be annoying for everybody, but everybody just seemed to love it. And yeah, it's been so good for running punks.
Oh, that's great. What's a collective noun of running punks? What do you call it? What is it?
I think it's a riff.
A riff. Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah,
that's
we like that.
I think it's a riff of punks. I mean, yeah, there's lots of swear words you could use, but I think we decided yesterday a riff was a nice one.
For those listening, tell us about Running Punks.
Running Punks, it is... Oh, good gosh. So I guess it started with like my merging of my love of music and my love of running. And initially it was me and my friend Rodri. It was our idea. And I think we kind of saw ourselves as the big hairy bikers of the running world. We just thought it would just be me and him. We would be the running punks and we would do things like, I don't know, run races and just, I don't know, eat pies and stuff. And that was our idea. It was just going to be me and him, the running punks. And I guess it just caught on as soon as people started seeing what we were doing and our ethos to running, where running was for everybody. It really just struck a chord, yeah, to use another musical reference. But people just, I don't know, it just made things seem easier for a lot of people, and it made them taking that first step, like, it became no problem for a lot of people then.
That's it.
It's huge now, Jimmy. I think, yeah, you've really like tapped into a market there of people who wouldn't necessarily go and sign up to a traditional running club, but the musical association, the fact that the amount of joy that you like put into it and how fun and cool it is, I think, yeah, there's a real... I mean, it's pretty big now. I don't know what the numbers are, but it seems like a big... Certainly online, yeah.
It's big, yeah. It's big. And it's growing every week. The virtual run club gets bigger every week. I think what we do, or what we've... And it wasn't really deliberate, but what we just tapped into was we're a bunch of runners who care more about what's going on inside the runner than what they're wearing, than what they're showing on the outside. We really care about how running lets people become like a good version of themselves, not necessarily a fitter and faster person, but just a better version of themselves. And I was running with people yesterday that I never met. We were talking about like what happens after you die, when's the world gonna end, why are my kids so annoying. It was just such an open chat. None of us mentioned how fast we were going. Yeah. There was no talk of, oh, should we slow it down a bit? We were just running and we were just chatting, and then I'd push on for a little bit, run with another group. And the conversation was the same. It was just, we were running, but not talking about running. We were talking about just things we love and things that annoy us.
Oh, that's great.
Like a knitting circle.
Sweaty knitting circle.
Am I right in thinking, Jimmy, that the kind of the start of running punks coincided roughly with you kind of deciding to knock drinking on the head and give up alcohol?
I think the start of Running Punks coincided with me realizing that I needed to be a better person.
Yeah, okay.
And the plan, I think I've tried to quit alcohol for the best part of a decade. And I had no reason to do it really until Running Punks started, and it became this thing that I could see was helping other people. And I just from chatting to Running Punks online, I could see people were saying things like they felt better for having one night off the drink and running on a Saturday morning. So kind of me and Rodri just naturally took on this responsibility to look after the Running Punks community. And for me, it made sense for me to really do everything I could to become a good role model and look after myself. And it just made sense to stop drinking. And all of a sudden, I thought, I can do this now because I've got a reason to do it. You know, I'm not one of those people that if I get told off, I take it on and I suddenly stop doing something.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Telling me off for drinking too much doesn't work. It would make me drink more. But people showing you love and appreciate what you do, then you think, oh, right, okay, I'm actually a decent person. So let's keep on being more decent.
Did was your relationship with alcohol, like, I don't know, whatever term you would put on it, were you alcoholic? Were you just an alcohol abuser, or did you just enjoy alcohol but probably a bit much?
I think I was all three. I was all three, definitely. There were stages where I was definitely an alcoholic. Things like I wouldn't be able to go in a pub to meet friends unless I was already drunk. You know, I relied on alcohol a lot just for social situations. Really odd things as well. You know, like being on tour with a band, I relied on alcohol just to get me through a tour. It was weird. There's no need. I should have been having fun anyway, but, you know, I felt like the alcohol, I thought the alcohol allowed me to be a more exciting person to be around, a more interesting person to be around. And that's when it became a real problem. I couldn't imagine myself in situations unless I was drunk. But then I definitely drank because I was high on life. You know, I was feeling really good and I thought the alcohol would just make that even better. And I abused it as well, you know?
Yeah.
I turned up to work drunk and stuff, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't the best.
I think that's an interesting thing, isn't it? That I think one of the reasons that might hold some people back from maybe giving up alcohol is they think they might become less interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a better laugh after a few beers, that kind of thing. Was that... How big a worry was that for you? And what's actually been the reality of giving up drink on that front?
That was a massive worry for me. I was convinced that unless I drank alcohol, nobody would want to talk to me because I don't do small talk. I've always struggled with small talk and I felt without small talk, I'm nothing. I've got nothing to say. So one of the biggest things I realised when I stopped drinking was I know this sounds really weird, but connecting with how sensitive I was as a person. And I allowed myself to feel sad. And by doing that, I was noticing that in the past, when I felt that kind of sadness coming on, I would drink and I wouldn't confront whatever it was making me sad. And, you know, nearly 2 years later now, I've come to realise that being sad is a lot better than being anxious.
Got it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So I've embraced how sensitive I am as a person. And doing the running reviews has really made me realise that when I am sober, I do have interesting things to say.
To be honest, the running reviews are just amazing. I'm sure like everyone listening a lot of people will be familiar with them. But they've really caught off, right? I mean, they've made like the national TV and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and I mean, still talking about that thing about worrying what you were like as a sober person. Honestly, the running reviews, they are fun, but they did make me realise that I could do this when I was sober.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I could do funny things as a sober person. So they were a massive driving force behind like stopping drinking, definitely. And yeah, they've caught on a lot. And the running reviews, it scares me sometimes. I did one recently for self-esteem and I referenced a bit of music to like the Blue Disney Birds.
Right.
And as I was editing the video, I was thinking, I can't put that in. And I listened to the bit of music again. And I was like, well, it does. To me, it sounds like the Blue Disney Birds, that little bit of music. I was thinking, I can't put it in. It's ridiculous. And then she saw the review, shared it, and she said, how you picked up on that is crazy because I used that as a reference in the studio. I'm convinced that when you're running and shouting, you tap into some weird universal subconsciousness. Definitely, it's spooky.
Probably whenever we've had a creative, anyone who's creative on, like a comedian or a musician or something like that, running is very much like that point of probably more lucid or even an idea time when like they'll use running as that moment to be creative a bit more because your mind can wander and endorphins or whatever allows you to be a bit more sort of like engaged with what you're doing. So I think to do the review whilst you're running, I mean, that's got to be, that's the coming together of those two things, right?
Yeah, totally.
Definitely. And I got to the point now where I'm not worried about not having anything to say. I used to worry about, oh, maybe I won't have anything to say today. And I just trust the whole process, the running, and kind of putting yourself on the... Because I try to run quite hard, not too hard. When I first started them, I was running really hard, but I can't do that like two or three times a week anymore. So I try and run quite hard. And I know there's this sweet spot where you're running and you're hitting a bit of fatigue and just your brain just loosens up. And you don't worry if something is a silly thought. You just don't worry about it. You just say it. And yeah, the running reviews has helped me be more creative with everything, with songwriting and everything. It's just made me trust my the way my brain works.
Yeah, your instincts. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, your instincts. Yeah.
What impact did going sober have on your running? Because I guess it's like, I mean, when we talk about like, you know, the great runners, they're all pretty much sober, aren't they? So I would imagine it was very positive.
Yeah, it made. I was speaking to Lowry Morgan yesterday. You know Lowry Morgan?
Heard the name.
Ultra runner, Welsh ultra runner.
Okay,
I met her yesterday for the first time, and we've been in touch online a lot. And she was asking me about, you know, what's the biggest positive to going sober, and it's not worrying about rest days.
Yeah,
right, honestly, okay. I can take 3 days off now, and then I start running again. I feel the same as I did before I took the rest. But when I was drinking, those 3 days off, I would kind of, I'd probably drink a little bit more, and then I would feel worse as a result, and I would panic after 3 days off. Oh, I got loads of catching up to do. But honestly, I can take days off, and I feel the same.
Yeah,
it's mad. It's kind of you're not afraid to just relax.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah,
the name of Running Punks I find interesting because obviously, like, if you think about punk and a movement. That was quite an indulgent thing, you know, like there's a whole attitude around being a punk. And I guess if we're talking about like consumption and alcohol and all those sorts of things, that's part of the scene, you know. And then running is obviously like actually quite, it's quite good for you, whereas, you know, being a punk, I've heard, isn't particularly that great for you. So
look at Johnny Rotten, look at him.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I mean, what is it, sort of anti-establishment kind of like elements of punk and that you thought running had the sort of same vibe to it?
I think it's funny because I think if you ask any of the running punks, they probably have a slightly different answer. And for me, a running punk is, you know, because the bands I played in were kind of punk, and it was all about, when you're gigging and touring, it was all about adapting to the venue you played in every night. There was always something wrong with the venue. And I've always thought the one thing that really wrecked my head when I was a proper athlete was routine being disrupted, or things like my plans falling apart, like maybe little things like you race in Lithuania and they've got sparkling water instead of still water, and I'd be like, oh, that's it, I can't, oh, that's it now, 146 out the window, it's not gonna happen. And running punk for me, I try and remind myself that nothing's gonna go to plan, but all that means is that you can just make each run or each race kind of unique to see what circumstances are in then. So it's really helped me with like not to get obsessed with running again, not to fast, like get fixated on my Strava fitness and stuff. So that's what running punks is for me. It's like, just take it every day as it is. Wherever it comes at you, just make sure you get out and do your run, and you do it to the best of the circumstances around you. But there's definitely like an anti-establishment thing as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's got to be. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's definitely.
It. Like, but then any sort of group that gathers together and it's all focused on, you know, having a nice time, like that in itself is different from a traditional running club, isn't it? I mean, massive statement against traditional running clubs, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
But
you know
it
what
is.
I mean? Yeah, yeah.
I just started laughing then because I thought about what I wrote for my allergies on the back of my number yesterday, and I've got shoe reviews and Coldplay.
So, have you ever been approached to do a review and you've said absolutely not?
What, a band?
Yeah.
No, I lead everybody down the path. I say, yeah, I'll do it. And then if I don't listen to it, I just never put it online.
Yeah, that's fine.
No,
Chris Martin's waiting.
I've had people suggest that you should do more negative reviews because they'll kind of get a good reaction.
Oh, but I see.
That's not what I'm doing. No.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a joyful thing, isn't it, when you do it?
Yeah, I did a few negative reviews in the past and they did go down well. But then I just kept thinking, like, oh, imagine I went on holidays and I was thinking, this is a really nice holiday. And then the drummer from that band rocks up.
Mm.
That's my holiday ruined just because I was taking cheap shots to someone. So, yeah, if I don't like it, I'll just knock the camera off after two or three songs.
Right.
Have a nice run.
Yeah, that's good.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Jimmy, you mentioned earlier like that you prefer to have sad moments rather than be anxious. And I think the relationship between alcohol and anxiety is a really interesting one, because I think a lot of people who are anxious maybe drink a little bit and that kind of cures it in the short term. But then obviously the next day, the hangover can just be a really sort of panicky, anxious time for people. I'm talking slightly from my own experience about that, actually. But what is it like for me? Do you feel like you are a less anxious person as a result of not drinking?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. One of the big turning points to getting healthy again. So, you know, when I started running, my plan wasn't to stop drinking. My plan was just to start running and start exercising again. And one of the things that triggered that was a panic attack with a hangover. I had this hangover and I was in the house on my own. And I just started thinking about things that my brain didn't want to go down there. And then it was just getting worse and worse. And then maybe I was just sitting on a sofa for 10 minutes. But in 10 minutes, I'd gone from having the house to myself around about Christmas time and watching a film to being in the shed having a panic attack. And it was totally due to the fact that I was hungover, the fact that I had like 3 or 4 hours sleep, there was bits of the night out I couldn't remember, I spent way too much money, and it just put me in this really like kind of like fragile place that I shouldn't have been in. And since I've stopped drinking, just like the anxiety is still there, but I've come to see it more as like excitement instead of anxiety.
They're kind of similar feelings, aren't they?
Feelings the same, because you're not hungover, you can like rationalize with yourself a bit more. And I just think, well, this isn't anxiety. This is probably just, I'm excited about something. And then I'll just try and find out what it is that's bugging me, that's making me excited. And I'll go out and do something silly then.
No, that's a much healthier way of looking at it, isn't it? I think, like you say, if you can kind of reframe anxiety as excitement, that's kind of quite a powerful thing to be able to do, I think.
Yeah. And if you're hungover and you can't remember parts of your night, that's really hard to do. That's really hard to just say, no, I'm not anxious, I'm really excited about that window I probably smashed last night.
Oh, 10 till 12, who cares about those 2 hours of the night?
I'm really excited about what I might have done. It's really exciting me.
Do you think that especially, you know, the British culture, but do you think that romanticizes alcohol? I mean, you know, I would say it does, but I mean, I want to get your take on it. And do you think we need to start educating people a bit more on the dangers of it or potential dangers?
Yeah, I think so. I think it really does. And I think the problem we've got is just in this country, where you're brought up can be so different to where other people are brought up. And it's kind of knowing how they look at the things which are bad for you, but they kind of celebrate them. So like, being from the valleys, the Welsh valleys, drinking is a massive thing. It's like such a, you know, I remember coming back from tour in Australia and I was really tired. I'd literally just come back and I went out with my family and my uncle was at the bar and he's like, do you want a pint? I said, can I get like a Jack Daniels and Coke? Just because I haven't got the head on me for a pint right now. It'll probably send me to sleep. And the straight man's like, what's the matter with you? Why? Get a pint down you. So I ended up having to drink a pint when I really didn't want to. And it's so weird.
Yeah.
It's such a strange, I think people will call it a weird flex. Such a weird flex to celebrate drinking. But for me, it's like, if you go sober, it's like all of a sudden your life has got loads of hill sprints. You've got personality hill sprints. And I think the more time you can spend as a sober person, you just get stronger. And you just become better at things. And I think, it takes practice, just like hill sprints do. but you will get the gains and you will be able to just go into social situations anyway and just be like, look, I don't drink and I don't want to and I'm not going to. You're not going to make me. And I've had to do that a few times.
Yeah.
Particularly now pubs are open. I've had to just say, look, I don't drink and I'm really not interested in doing it. But it is definitely celebrated and romanticised.
Has it cost you any relationships?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, there's a few people who friends I kind of lost because of my drinking. And I think I automatically assumed they'd all come back when they realised I didn't drink anymore, but they haven't.
Oh, no. It was just your personality. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just me. I thought it was the booze, but it was just me. They just didn't like me anymore.
What about the running punks, though, Jimmy? Because I get a sense that there are a sort of sizable minority of running punks who are sober as well. Maybe have had a similar kind of relationship with alcohol that you've had.
Yeah, we did a sober September. We tried to do as many people together. I thought, let's just see how many, because I know lots of people give up for October anyway. They call it Stoptober. So I thought maybe let's just give them another month in the build up so they can see what it's like. And yeah, a lot of people joined in. And yeah, I think you find lots of people have very similar relationships with alcohol because it's the same poison.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah.
And it goes back to that point of it being slightly ingrained in the culture.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, I grew up in a rural area, and the moment you go, the park changes from being a place you play as a kid to a place where you sit in the evenings.
Have you ever thought, Ben, about like changing your relationship with alcohol or giving
up? I mean, I've done long periods of without. I think because you definitely realise when you get older that it is really bad for you. I think that's kind of like when you say, and we talk about, I never had like crippling, the anxiety never reached like really bad levels, but everyone on that hangover when you've gone too far and you can't remember bits of the night, you're like, well, that's terrible. Like, I've done enough to my brain for it to not be able to do one of its major functions. Like, that's pretty impressive. You know, like, it does like a couple, my brain does a couple of things automatically. One's keeping me breathing. One's remembering stuff.
And you've just turned it
off.
And
I've managed to turn it off. You know? So that's not great. So yeah, I've absolutely had a few moments. I've done, I think the longest I had was about 6-7 months, maybe 8 months.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And that was not off the back of, I mean, in no way have I ever got to the point where I think that my relationship with alcohol has been detrimental to my life. I've probably drunk too much, that's for sure. But I'm not, it's not a consistent, I mean, I probably drink at the weekends really, and that's about it. And certainly, yeah, not a massive pub goer or all those sorts of things. But, you know, I've also had those periods of life when I've binged excessively. So there's, you know, it's sort of ebbs and flows, but I could do without it now. I think I could probably get away with doing without it. I like a nice glass of red though with some food. I've got to that point. Like,
yeah.
So
the end is in sight when you get.
Yeah, I think that's
point.
It. Then I've got to get whiskey under the, and then I'm done. I think. So
do you know what? Funnily enough, yeah, whiskey was like my last big thing, and then I remember drinking whiskey out of a paper bag on a train, and I thought,
this is a bad look.
I've nearly completed this now. Yeah. I'm on the last level.
Just got that big boss at the end to get rid of, and then you're all right. Yeah. What about you, Rick? Though,
I think that I certainly how stressed I am has affected how much I've drunk in the past and how quickly I've drunk as well. I used to notice when I was during quite a stressful period of work, I would, I'd be like the guy who's finished quickest on the pints, and also started thinking very much about the next pint while drinking. So I didn't even necessarily enjoy the pint I was drinking. I was starting to think, wouldn't it be good to get another one in? And I don't think it was ever like a hugely problematic for me, but I can absolutely see how it could have become that. And I think, actually, one of the nice things about being a dad for me is that actually the chance to get drunk, it reduces a bit, really. So I've probably been drunk, you know, four times in the last year, which is considerably less than I would have been. And that's definitely coincided with a period of much more happiness and less anxiety for me as well. So I do think that there is, I can see the relationship there, and I'm kind of a little envious of Jimmy for going full sober, actually. And I can see the difference it's made to you, Jim, as well. It's really, really obvious. It's been a great decision for you to do it. So I think maybe there are a lot more people out there who might consider at least sort of reframing their relationship with alcohol, I think.
Yeah, I think I had to reframe it so much it was no longer in a frame.
Yeah.
I just had to let it fall.
Did you think, though, that actually you were the kind of person that it's kind of easier just to stop rather than to try and be like a moderate?
Definitely, because the way I would guzzle alcohol, I just guzzle other things now. So I'm a proper chocolate bar fanatic.
Oh, mate, that's the next level. That's me.
I'm like 4 or 5 chocolate bars a day, which is crazy. That is really out of hand. I've got a multi-pack next to me there. But yeah, I am that kind of really addictive personality. And the thought of doing 1 or 2 drinks, just nah. There's no, that's not happening. But I also didn't do the thing where I tipped out all the alcohol in the house. I've still got all the booze here. It's still here, yeah. And lots of people are like, oh, if you're going to do it, tip it out. As if that's the first step. First thing you have to do is like deny yourself.
Well, you're going
to
get more if you want it that bad.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, wow, are you going to hide all the supermarkets as well? Turns out all the alcohol in the world was in my kitchen. It's gone. Yeah, and everyone's like, yeah, you know, you've got to deny yourself it. But it's like, no, just live with it. You've got to learn to live with it. It's all around, so.
I think you've said this already, but I was going to ask you what the biggest advantage of giving up booze is. And I guess you said that you could have rest days. But is there maybe a more kind of general life advantage to giving up for you?
Yeah, I can read books late at night.
Well, that's a good one.
That's honestly... Yeah. I've got a Kindle, and I always said I was never going to get a Kindle, but someone bought me a Kindle, and reading a book in the dark is one of my favourite things with a Kindle, because, yeah, I couldn't read when I was even tipsy, so I can do that. I guess it's given me, like, a real hunger to find out what I'm capable of as a human and what other humans are capable of, because I'm just fascinated. I'm constantly fascinated that I spent so long under the grip of this thing and it had such a control over my personality, the way I thought, the decisions I made, that I'm now just like constantly fascinated about what decisions you can make as a sober person and what the mind is capable of in that kind of way. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's given me like a real hunger to read about things I've never read before. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
well, you get used to your thought process as being done whilst inebriated, so you're kind of like, that's your, you know, you're actually thinking in your whatever pathways will be different because your like cognitive processes are different.
Totally, yeah. And I'm reading things about experiments with LSD, you know, UFOs, everything. I'm just, but things that I would have probably not thought about getting involved in when I was a drinker. It was like, no, I've got 5 minutes to read a book. I'll read a bit of this. But now it's like, oh, look, I get all this extra time to read. I can just spend a few hours a night reading about some random topic. I don't know, little things like that are just big changes for me. And yeah, I just feel better. I just feel like my face looks better.
Yeah. What about the, because I guess this is a little off topic with running, but like the relationship between alcohol or kind of drugs, recreational drug use as a whole, and creativity? Because often we think, oh, look, you know, the reason these people were great is because they were off their heads, or, you know, look at Keith Richards, he's fantastic and he was pissed the whole time, blah blah. What's been the reality for you? Do you actually feel like you've been more creative as a result of being sober?
Much more creative. It's weird because overall it's more creative, but I've come to understand the creative process more. I've come to understand that there's levels to being creative. And when I was a drinker, I thought creativity was like all about inspiration, like bam, that's my idea, that's it. Done, job done, because that idea came out of nowhere. But now I'm learning to like sit with ideas and think, that's a cool idea, but is it necessarily the best idea? And I'm learning to work through creativity more as like, not a job, but like a checklist of things, just to make sure I'm getting the most out of the ideas I'm having. Whereas in the past, it would be kind of like, that's fine, that'll do.
Right.
First idea, best ideas, done. Yeah. And I definitely think now with the music we write in and the lyrics I'm writing, I would never have done things like that when I was drinking. You know, I wouldn't have spent the time on it.
Yeah, right.
And it's kind of like across my whole life without having alcohol, I've just become a lot more patient. It's made me a lot more patient. And I think maybe that's because I'm no longer like on edge. I'm no longer like keen to just go down the pub. I'm happy just to sit with thoughts. I'm happy just to sit with people and listen to them talk, like let them talk, instead of talking over. And I think that's just rubbed off on everything, and particularly with creativity. I can just really focus on an idea and see it through till I think, yeah, that's cool, I'm happy with that now, rather than being really impulsive.
I feel like you're the best advert, Jimmy, for going sober. Honestly. Because you're just like, you're the same, you know, you're just as fun as like you always were, but you just seem much happier, I think, as a result of it. It's nice.
I'm definitely happier. Definitely happier. And it's funny, like, people like to correct you when you put posts up about being sober, and people say, I get a few people saying, yeah, don't forget the drunk Jimmy was still really cool, and it was good things about him. And it's like, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I regret my life in the past, but I'm just happy now. I've always been happy, but the happiness makes more sense to me now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's not a matter of, like, life doesn't come in compartments. It's not like that one bit that was that, there was one bit that, you know, it's a progression, isn't it? So maybe there was that bit, I'm still the same, but I'm just a bit, you know, there's different elements to it now. It's that sort of...
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
But I think that's a good point. I think possibly there's lots of people out there who don't give up because they worried that, I don't know, like, it's almost like having a drink is like being a part of the gang, isn't it? And kind of like going, you know, I'm still drinking. I'm not, you know, and it's kind of, I think it's unfortunate that it gets, it's as hard as it is, because it should be everyone's personal decision really to drink or not drink. But
there's
a lot of peer pressure.
The moment you realise what people look like at 11 o'clock. Was I like that? Oh, jeez.
Oh, I know. I've been to a few music festivals the past month as well. And yeah, I've stayed out till like 1:30, 2 in the morning with people, and I thought, wow. Yeah, I was like that. That was me, that was. Yeah. That was me peeing against the bar. I don't know. I don't even find it hard to be around drunk people. I honestly don't mind. And live music sounds better when you're totally sober. I don't get in the mosh pit anymore. I'm like this guy who stands at the back and I listen to everything, but I enjoy it more. And I generally enjoy nights out with people who are drinking, and I'm not, that honestly doesn't bother me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. I think that there can be an evangelical side to anyone changing a life thing that comes a bit more like, ah, stop banging your drum. But I think it's all about that personal, this is a better me, so I'm doing it.
Yeah, mate, agreed.
Exactly. And not only that, like I'm aware that not only is it a better me, but any group I'm in is a better group because I'm sober and I'm in that group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have moments where I'm with a group of people and I just think, I'm really happy I'm not drunk, because this group of people are getting on really well and I would definitely spoil it if I was drunk. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just think it's good for everybody. I'm going to stay out, so it's good for everybody.
Yeah, that's great.
Jimmy, if people want to find out a bit more about Running Punks, where can they go to join the community?
Down the pub. Mine's a pint. We are on all the social media channels, Facebook.
Oh, you've heard of that one? Yeah.
Instagram. Yeah, we're on all those. Constantly bombarding you with stuff, and I'm on there as Biggie Timkins on Twitter and Nutbush Jimmy Limits on Instagram. Give me a shout. Lots of people message me for tips. It's fine, it's not a problem. I like doing it, because one of the biggest things for me was to have someone who was sober who I could look up to. That was the big thing at the start for me. And just, you know, I'm not saying people have to look up to me, but just give me a shout, and I can just, if you're in a situation, I've probably been in it. And I can just tell you how I either navigated around it or steamrolled through the middle of it.
Jimmy, thanks so much for your time coming on the Runner's World podcast. It's always amazing to have you on. And obviously, we want to have you back at some point in the near future.
Yes, please.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A huge thanks to our guest, Jimmy Watkins, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to 3 issues of Runner's World magazine for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer, or just subscribe to the whole magazine and just get all the issues. That's the best thing you can possibly
do. That's a good deal.
It's a great deal. You can listen to Runner's World podcast on Acast, iTunes, and all of your favourite podcast apps, just as you're doing right now. But most importantly, you should subscribe. It makes us feel great. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.